welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. I do want to encourage you, you can check out our store, store.greatdetectives.net. Pick up all my books, audiobooks, and ebooks, all in one place, including my mystery novel, Slime Incorporated, currently with a rating of greater than 4 stars on Amazon, as well as All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo and All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie, the original air date, December the 20th, 1945. And this is the Television Roundtable Murder.
Mary?
Mm-hmm. Mary. Is it time yet?
Yeah, a minute or two. Swell apartment my friend Charlie Kingston has here.
Well, it was nice to invite us forward to a television. Imagine seeing Inspector Faraday on a television screen.
One of the nicest ways of seeing Faraday, you know, so near and yet so far away.
Turn it on, Blackie, will you?
Okay.
Well, the screen's lighting up.
Edison's black. Hey, I see something on the screen.
Yeah, so do I, but it's a little blurred.
You must be televising Faraday's mind. I think it needs a little sharper tuning.
The set or the mind?
Both. Hey, that's better, isn't it?
What? Oh, Blackie, there's Faraday.
Yeah, I see him. Uh-huh. 3 other men around the table. Well, as much as they're broadcasting civic forum, it says it should be.
The friendly inspector seems a little nervous, doesn't he?
Because he's hitting the water pitcher? He probably read somewhere that all speakers drink a glass of water before they go on.
Well, the other members of the forum must have read the same thing.
Hmm. No, it's hot in the studio, man.
You know, Blackie, hard to realize that here we are sitting at home, watching and listening to something taking place miles away. Don't you think television's wonderful?
Oh, I don't know. It'll never replace the voice.
Hmm. You know, I think it's about time you told me I was wonderful, too, Blackie.
I don't think you will replace the horse, either.
Hmm.
Hey, I think that's Inspector Faraday. Yeah, now it's his turn to speak. Now turn the radio point on.
Oh, good, this is going to be fun.
We continue our roundtable discussion by presenting an outstanding civic leader, Cyrus Baxter.
Oh, it's not Faraday, after all. Shall I turn it down?
Oh, let's hear what Baxter has to say. I think Faraday should follow him. He's sitting next to him.
Mr. Baxter seems to be a bit thirsty, too. Well, he's finally put down that water glass.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have come here tonight for a specific purpose. Make accusation against one of...
Hey, what's happening to him? He's grabbing his throat.
He's choking, Mary.
Look, he's falling back. He's right into Faraday's arms.
Which means that somebody laid a murder right in Faraday's lap.
It's summer money time. Yes, it's summer money time. Come to Beneficial now. It's summer money time.
Right now, it's summer money time at Beneficial Finance Company. Get the cash you want for a wonderful vacation, to clean up leftover bills, or for any good reason. You'll find the service just a little faster, just a little friendlier. And you get this beneficial extra, your own international credit card. Good for cash wherever you go.
Cash, just say the word, you're the boss. At Beneficial, where it's summer money time.
And now back to Boston Blackie. enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend.
There's Faraday over there with the police photographers, Mary.
He looks awful worried, Blackie.
He looks confused, but then he always does.
Well, darn. Faraday really isn't as much as if Baxter was murdered with Faraday right in the room, the police commissioner will do some plain and fancy screening, and you know it.
Yeah, no question about that. Oh, hold it, honey. We've been detected. Here comes the inspector. Mm-hmm. Hi, Faraday.
Blackie, before I do anything else, I've got one thing to say to you. Get out of here.
Hello, Inspector Faraday.
Hello, Miss Wesley. I make that two things, Blackie. Get out and stay out. Oh, have I got troubles.
I know. I saw you by television. You photographed that.
I'm not talking about that, and you know it. Cyrus Baxter was standing right next to me when he was murdered.
Then he was murdered, huh? Why did you do it, Faraday?
What do you mean, why did I do it? I didn't kill him, Blackie. I beat it.
Sure, Inspector. Did you find out yet what poison was used?
Poison? Who said it was poison? How could it be poison? I drank from the same pitcher of water. So did everybody at the table. We weren't poisoned, were we?
Oh, I don't know. How do you feel, Inspector?
I feel great. I feel like throwing you right out of here.
Oh, Blackie, why don't you stop, darling? Inspector Faraday,
no. I'm sorry. You say, Inspector,
yeah?
Baxter was just about to accuse somebody of something when the poison hit him.
Who said it was poison? I told you it couldn't be poison.
Excuse me, Inspector Faraday. The medical examiner just finished with the body. He said to tell you Baxter was poisoned by the water. They won't be able to identify the poison till after the autopsy.
Okay. Oh, Blackie, beat it. I'll take it from here alone.
I'll go, but you won't be alone, Inspector. There's a person heading this way right now with purpose in his footsteps, and you in his mind.
Do you know him, Inspector?
Now, that's Rex Daniels. He was secretary to Mr. Baxter.
Inspector Faraday, I've got to talk to you for a moment.
Not now.
I think you'd better listen to him, Faraday, and now.
Nobody tells me what I better do. What do you want, Daniels?
Inspector, I know what Mr. Baxter was going to say when he fell dead. I helped him prepare the indictment.
What kind of an indictment was that, Daniels?
Who are you?
Oh, he's Boston Blackie. Who is Baxter going to indict?
A man named Thomas, Ralph Thomas. Mr. Baxter was going to expose him to the forum members.
Yeah?
We knew he was farming out city contracts, costing the taxpayers additional money.
Thomas, huh? Hey, we all had dinner at his house tonight.
Who's all, Inspector?
Me, Baxter, Ralph Thomas, and then there was...
And I, Inspector Faraday.
Yeah, and you too, Waters.
Waters, huh? What do you do?
Shut up, Blackie. Waters has political connections. Very good ones, too.
Oh, I remember you, Mr. Waters. I saw you on our television set.
Yes. Yes, I was scheduled to speak before, well, before the unfortunate accident.
It wasn't an accident. It was murder. Somebody wanted to keep Baxter quiet. Faraday,
yeah? You
say you had dinner at Ralph Thomas's house?
Yeah, four of us. Baxter, Mr. Waters, Thomas, and I. Hey, Thomas could have poisoned Baxter then.
And have the poison take effect at exactly the right moment, Faraday? I don't think that happens except in books.
So you don't think it happens? Well, who cares what you think? I'm going to go to work on Thomas right now. Are you sure Baxter was going to accuse Thomas, Daniels?
Of course I'm sure. Well, you're giving us some action, Inspector. That's all I wanted to be sure of. Go on, Daniels.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Inspector Faraday. Thank you very much. I was very fond of my employer.
Yeah, I know. But wait a minute. You figure to step into his job, Daniels?
Well, I hadn't thought about it much. I guess I am the only one who could handle it right away.
That's all I wanted to know. You can go now. But I'll be seeing you. You too, Waters.
Goodbye, Inspector. We'll be seeing you, Faraday.
Hey, does anybody remember I'm still here?
See that you stay here. And keep Blackie with you. I'm going to see this Ralph Thomas.
That's right, Inspector. Between the two of us, we'll make him talk.
Yeah, he's going to talk between the one of us, and that means me. And it also means you're going to keep away from his house. Far away. You get that? So long, Clay.
Goodbye, Inspector.
Oh, Miss Wesley, I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Go on, Mary.
Would it be impolite to ask where to?
The phone booth. I'm going to call this Ralph Thomas and arrange to meet him before 5:30. Yes,
ma'am.
And the subject we'll discuss when we meet will be another man's poison.
Thomas residence.
Hello, is Mr. Thomas at home?
I'm sorry, sir, he is not.
This is Inspector Allen of the police. Did you serve the dinner at Mr. Thomas's house tonight?
Why, yes, Inspector. Of course I did.
I just wanted to be sure it was you. Tell me one thing. Who cooked the dinner?
I did, sir. It's one of my duties. Was anything wrong?
I don't know yet. Tell me this. Did everyone at the table eat the same food?
Oh, yes, sir. And every bit of it, too. Pardon me, there's nothing else. This is my night off, and I was just about to leave the house.
One thing more. Do you know where Mr. Thomas is?
This is his bowling night, sir. The Academy Alley. You might find him there.
Thank you very much. Goodbye. I'm in luck, Mary.
Oh, yes, yes, Dr. Black.
Yes, Mary, Mr. Thomas has gone bowling, and the chance to see him alone is right down my alley.
How'd it go tonight, Mr. Thomas?
Well, Joe, had a 165 average for 7 games.
Not bad, not bad.
Good night, Joe.
Good night, Mr. Thomas. See you same time next week.
Right, Joe. Good night.
Thomas, I'd like to see you at the same time this week.
Who are you?
Boston Blackie. Name mean anything to you?
Vaguely. You were looking for me?
That's pretty apparent, isn't it? Mr. Thomas, did you know that Cyrus Baxter was murdered tonight?
No, I didn't. How did it happen?
You don't seem very upset.
There isn't much difference between life and death. It's presence of one because of the absence of the other.
If you follow me, that's a little beyond my depth, Thomas, but murder isn't. By the way, Baxter did have dinner at your house.
Yes, that's right, he did. So Inspector Faraday, the police, and Richard Waters, were they poisoned, too?
I never said that Baxter was poisoned.
No, you didn't, but you mentioned he was murdered and brought up the fact that he had dinner at my house. Pretty obvious conclusion, don't you think?
Either an obvious conclusion or definite knowledge. Look, Thomas, you're in a spot. Baxter was preparing to expose you publicly at that forum. Did you know that?
No. Well, it's possible. My business is a little out of the ordinary.
Just what is your business?
Just what business is it of yours?
Actually, none. But the police are after you, and if you're innocent, it's just possible I might be able to help.
You don't think I poisoned Baxter?
No, I think you're too smart to do that. Come to think of it, this had to be a pretty smart stunt.
What are you talking about?
Four men had dinner together, and there three of those men drank from the same water pitcher. The water was poisoned, but only one man died. That's a pretty good trick.
Tell me how it was done.
Maybe you'll tell me. First of all, did all four of you eat the same food at dinner?
Identical. Cream soup? Roast beef, boiled potatoes, lima beans, dessert coffee. Baxter had no coffee. Is that important?
You know it, man. Who prepared the dinner, Thomas?
Jones, my butler. Very good cook.
I talked to him earlier. I understand he has the night off. Will he be home later?
I think so. He has an apartment over the garage. Generally in by midnight on his night off.
I think I'll go to see him. Maybe your butler will open the door to a solution of this case.
This is my idea of completely nuts.
How can you say that, Mary?
Well, that's easy, I'll show you.
We're on the trail of a killer, gal, en route to what may turn out to be a killer's quarters in yon garage.
So suppose we find the one. Then what?
Then we... Somebody's calling us. Then please put it quick.
Well, all right, but I don't hear anybody. Hey,
keep out of this, Mary. I'll handle him, whoever he is. Wait here.
Blackie!
I mean, wait here quietly. Shh. Baby, when I grab somebody, they say, grab!
Blackie!
Hi. You're new around here, huh? Say, you know about this nationwide auto insurance we're singing about?
I sure do. The best and not expensive.
Oh, yeah?
Nationwide auto insurance gives you all the coverage you need.
Good, huh?
Oh, Nationwide doesn't cut corners. It's quality auto insurance at real low cost.
No kidding.
So good, over 2.25 million by Nationwide.
Hey, you know a lot about it.
Oh, I should. I'm a vice president with the company.
And you're doing the jingle?
Well, I just can't be singing along.
Nationwide auto insurance, your best buy. Nationwide, always the best for you and your car.
And now back to Boston Blackie. While Blackie and Mary Wesley were watching by television, Cyrus Baxter fell dead in the television studio just as he was about to indict Ralph Thomas, political lobbyist. Thomas's secretary, Rex Daniels, and Richard Waters, a civic board member, are under suspicion, as well as Thomas. When investigation shows that Baxter was poisoned and that he had had dinner with the others at Thomas's house, a search is made for the butler who cooked and served the dinner. En route to his quarters in the Thomas garage, Blackie and Mary realize they are being followed, and Blackie jumps on the man.
Well, friends, that ought to hold you for a while. How do you like your face getting an awful massage?
Did you get him,
Blackie?
You got him. An exercise. Hand me the flashlight, Mary, so I can see what I nabbed and what kind of a head I'll have hanging in my trophy room.
Blackie!
Oh!
Blackie, you dope! Let me up!
Oh, it's Inspector Faraday. Oh, Blackie!
Well, golly, I'm sorry, Inspector. I didn't know it was you. Here, let me help you up.
What's the idea of hopping on me?
Why, I didn't know it was you. What was the idea of trailing me?
I didn't know it was you either. I saw two figures.
One of them was mine. The good one.
Mary.
Well.
Oh, cut it out, both of you. Where are you going, Blackie?
Well, nowhere. Just out for a stroll.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Only I took my stroll first. I got to this garage 20 minutes ago. Nobody answered the door in Thomas's house. So I thought I'd try here.
Was anybody in the garage, Inspector?
Nobody to speak of. Just a corpse.
That's nobody to speak to. Was it the butler?
Yeah, knifed. Oh. I'd give a lot to know why.
I could tell you.
I don't want to know that badly. Now, come on, let's get into Thomas's house and wait for him to come home.
All good police inspectors have skeleton keys, right, Inspector?
Now, I got something better. You. Now, look, can you open that back door, Blackie?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. Past performances have been my favorite.
I know. There it is. Go to work.
Okay. This is awfully illegal, Inspector.
Yeah, murder is a little bit against the law, too. How you coming?
Yeah, pretty well. There. Door unlocked.
Well, open it.
Right.
Gas, Blackie. I smell gas.
Keep out of the way, Mary. Come on, Inspector. Put your handkerchief over your nose and come on.
Okay, I'm with you.
Break that window, Inspector. Fast.
Okay. Put the flashlight on it so I can see what I'm doing.
Right.
Right over here. Okay.
Hey. Hey, look, Inspector. That body on the floor. It's Thomas.
Now, that makes the third one. First Baxter, then his butler, now Thomas here. He killed the first two and then committed suicide. Well, that washes this case, huh?
Inspector, come here, quick.
Now, what is it, genius?
Nothing that you'd be interested in, except Thomas isn't dead. He broke in here just in time.
Not dead, but he's got to be dead. This room was loaded with gas from that kitchen range.
Not too loaded. Whoever did this might have wanted it to look like suicide, but didn't stuff the cracks under the doors, and we broke in time to save Thomas. Look at this bump on the back of Thomas's head.
He got it when the gas hit him and he fell off that chair.
He could have gotten it when somebody hit him, turned on the gas, and left him here.
That's what you think. As soon as Thomas revives, I'm taking him to headquarters and booking him for murder.
Go ahead, but get an apology ready, kid. You're going to need it when it turns out that Thomas is innocent. Just keep driving anywhere, Mary. It doesn't matter. Here we go, as long as I have time to think.
You got time to think out loud?
Yeah, I suppose so. Mary, would Thomas be clever enough to fake an attack on himself, hoping to throw us off the track?
Well, what would he hope to gain, Blackie?
He'd hope to throw suspicion on somebody else. Ralph Waters or Rex Daniels, Baxter's secretary.
I mean, he figured you'd break in time to save him.
Maybe. What bothers me, too, is that poisoning of Baxter. Faraday tells me there was poison found in the water that everybody at the forum drank. Yet it affected only Baxter. Now, how can that be?
Would finding a motive help you, Blackie?
No, not in this case, Mary. Everybody had a motive.
Don't they always in mystery stories?
Invariably. Only mystery stories generally wind up with a solution. I'd like to know what this one is.
You'll find it, darling. I know you will.
That line came out of the same mystery story.
Hey!
Well, let's go to work. Suppose you drive me to Ralph Waters' house, and as the dog said when he went flea hunting, we start from scratch.
I don't think there's anything further I care to say to you, Daniels. And certainly nothing further I care to hear from you. Good day.
Not so fast, Mr. Waters. I happen to be very fond of Mr. Baxter.
I admit that very much. Good day.
Mr. Waters, you had opportunity to poison that drinking water at the television studio, and reason enough to want Mr. Baxter dead.
So did you, for that matter.
I had reason?
Baxter's job. You've got it now. Maybe you'd better leave before I start putting pieces together.
You're trying to insinuate I killed Mr. Baxter, the man who gave me the only chance I ever had. I could kill you for saying that.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
Stop it, Daniels. Take your hands off him.
What do you want here, Blackie?
Mr. Waters alive, for one thing.
Have him arrested, Blackie. He almost killed me just now.
Yes, I know. I saw that. And it gave me an idea. All I've got to do is to put that idea of mine into execution, and both of you better hope it isn't your execution I'm talking about.
Lights hurt your eyes, Thomas. Too bad. Go on, talk. Inspector Faraday, there isn't anything I can tell you except what I've already told you. Yeah. I know nothing of how Mr. Baxter or my butler were killed or who tried to kill me and make it look like suicide.
Thomas, I'm going to...
Yeah, Faraday speaking. Now, what is it, Frankie? You want me to do what? Are you kidding? Of course I won't. Sure, I want to solve this case. And that's the way to do it, huh? Okay, what can I lose except a couple of hours? Hey, right away. 8 o'clock tonight is okay. Bye. Thomas, you're going to have a dinner party at your house again tonight. And then we're going to the television studio. Just like we did last night.
What's the reason for all this, Inspector?
Blackie's idea. He says he's going to make a murderer show his hand so we can get a look at his face.
Gentlemen, as you know, Inspector Faraday, Mr. Waters, Mr. Thomas, and I have just come here to the television studio from a dinner where we ate exactly what was served at the dinner last night.
This farce is a little late in getting started, isn't it?
That's what I said.
Maybe, Mr. Waters, but the ending is worth it.
Come on, Blackie, come on, do something.
I will, Faraday. I'll start with a roll call. First, Inspector Faraday of the police.
What do I do now? Bow?
Not until this case is solved, old fellow. Rex Daniels, secretary to the late Cyrus Baxter.
Yes.
Richard Waters, member of the City Finance Council.
Here, Blackie.
And Ralph Thomas, political hanger-on, holding no office but packing a lot of weight.
Thank you, sir.
It's very hot in the studio under these lights, gentlemen. Here, in this pitcher of ice water, I'll be able to have a drink. But I'm going to improve the taste a little. The small bottle I asked you for, Inspector, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. There's poison in this water, gentlemen. The same poison that killed Baxter. I'm going to pour it into the water pitcher. And now I'm going to drink a glass of the water.
I see, Billy.
There. Now, here's a glass of water for you, Waters. For you, Thomas. And for you, Daniels. And for you, Faraday. Now, I want all of you to drink the water together. Come on, now. One. Two.
No, I can't do it. I can't. I tell you, I can't.
Drink it, Daniels. The count of three. One. Two. too?
I won't do it. It's murder. It'll kill all of us.
I drank it, Mr. Waters. Remember?
Sure. Sure, you drank it. But you took an antidote at dinner. You had it in your coffee, and you wouldn't serve coffee to any of us. He's trying to murder us all. Don't let him. I'm going to get out of here. I won't drink that water.
Grab him, Faraday. He's your murderer. Richard Waters.
I'm listening, Blackie.
I'm gloating, lovely one. Where shall I begin?
With the reason that Waters killed Baxter.
That was because Baxter was going to indict Ralph Thomas.
Hmm?
Thomas had to have a partner in a city job. That partner was Waters. If Baxter named Thomas, Thomas would pass the buck to Waters. Catch on?
Catch on. Woo. I know where the butler was killed, too. Waters had bribed him to put the antidote in the coffee he served at the dinner, and later killed him to keep him from talking.
Nice going. Waters knew Baxter drank only milk, and so he had the antidote placed in the coffee by the butler. He believed I had done the same thing before I drank the water, and that gave him away.
And then Waters later tried to kill Thomas and make it look like suicide so that Thomas would be suspected. How am I doing, Brad?
You're wonderful, Mary.
But I still don't replace the horse, huh? Well, I think you were wonderful taking the chance on drinking that water you had poisoned.
Don't be silly. I knew I hadn't any poison in that water.
What?
It was just more water I added, that's all. Tricky, eh?
Yes, darling, you're tricky, huh? And, I'm thirsty, huh? So, huh? I'll pour myself a little water.
I do all the talking and you get thirsty. That's what I call close friendship.
Well, I'll answer that when I'm through. Mary. Now, what was it you... Oh, Blackie. Blackie!
What is it, Mary? What?
My throat. My throat. Blackie, I'm falling.
It's all right, dear. I'm holding you. What is it? What's the matter?
Well, with you holding me, nothing's the matter. I'm a little tricky, too, darling.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. It really is remarkable to get a perspective on television that people had back when it came out. And that's really hard, particularly for someone like me who grew up with television pretty much always around. It was ubiquitous. And here it's treated with a bit of a sense of wonder, particularly by Mary. Though Ballast and Blackie... of course, refrains from getting too excited by it. Just really would not fit his style as a character. Of course, television had very little to do with the actual case. And the titles for this episode's not based on anything that was ever printed on a script cover. These are what you call anecdotal titles, and I prefer the title we used is the one that's used by the Digital Daily FTP. And I prefer this over the title, the common title that's so often used in OTR, which is the TV poisoning case. Because hearing the TV poisoning case, it really does set your expectation for a different type of show. I mean, I sat down to listen to this, and I was expecting some bizarre mystery where somebody is poisoned through a television. Now, it should be pointed out here that TV had been something that had been long in coming. There was talk about it before the war. There are TV broadcasts going back to the late 1930s. But the war really did put a kibosh on a lot of these efforts to bring television out until after the war. And so there were very, you know, and we're late 1945. So there are a small number of sets out there with very limited broadcasting. And in 1945, you're still 6 years away from when television revenues would eclipse radio. So we're at the dawn of the age of television in today's episode. Also this episode, I did like how Boston Blackie walked down and demanded that Faraday explain why he committed the murder. Now, this might seem odd, but if you know the relationship between Blackie and Faraday, Blackie figured that it was about time that he accused Faraday of murder just because it happened in the vicinity. A bit of a turnabout is fair play there. All right, well, now we do turn to some listener comments and feedback, and I received quite a few comments on the closing monologue for our Thanksgiving Day episode 2052. Christy writes in, response that's representative of many that I received, said, thank you. What you said about the actors and how we should be remembering them was beautiful and welcome. It's easy to find fault in someone who can't defend themselves. We should be seeking to find joy instead. Well, well said. And I appreciate everyone who wrote in expressed their support for their comments that we gave back at the end of that episode of Boston Blackie. I also received a comment on Facebook from someone who actually talked to one of the old-time radio actors about another, and they told the story that this particular actor did drink before performing, but the larger the part, the smaller the drink. And then he shared some insight on Tom Conway, who I just mentioned as kind of a for instance, because I'd read about Tom Conway reportedly on The Saint had shown up drunk and had to be replaced with Lawrence Dobkin, which is something that is widely reported. However, Lawrence shared that when speaking to Peggy Weber, that while working with Tom Conway, that she never witnessed him drunk when she worked with him. She did add that she thought he didn't give himself enough credit for his acting abilities because he always thought he was in the shadow of his younger brother, George Sanders. It's interesting to note that Sanders never did much old-time radio. I've only heard him on a Theater Guild on the Air program and on the show hosted by Tallulah Bankhead. Well, thanks so much. And yeah, I did hear the episode of The Big Show with George Sanders. He was definitely much more of a movie actor, which was generally it paid more and was considered more prestigious. And obviously, you'd be more likely to be recognized going down the street. But that, the point of the counter anecdote about Tom Conway is kind of why I don't, as a matter of practice, go into that sort of thing. It's just an illustration of that. Because there are stories back and forth. And that's kind of where you get when you go too much into the, celebrity scandal side of it. So we'll continue to just stick to the radio shows pretty much, as well as the highlights of the acting careers. Thanks so much. The comment and for sharing. But there was a different take regarding these two episodes where Blackie appeared to lose his voice. Mark says that he was commenting not just on that he just listened to episode 2052, but I'm really commenting on the previous 2 weeks when Blackie was largely absent from the stories. While I did not imagine that Richard Colmar was drunk, as your other listener suggested, I was curious about your apparent conviction that it was Colmar in both of these episodes performing despite laryngitis. Given the conspicuous lack of a credit given to Colmar near the beginning of those two episodes, how do we know that the show wasn't using a stand-in for Colmar, let's say he was sick, using laryngitis as a cover for the non-Colmar voice? Well, that's an interesting theory, and I won't say that it's impossible, but I've got to say that it would be a very unusual occurrence in the golden age of radio, because illness is often handled in old-time radio pretty forthrightly. When there's an absence, there's just a very simple excuse given. We heard this, right at the start of our very first episode we have in circulation with Wally Mayer as Michael Shane. And there was an episode of Let George Do It where they substituted actors. So to write a story where Boston Blackie has laryngitis and hire a substitute to play the role seems a bit far-fetched. I really also felt, listening to it, that even though it was pretty hoarse, that the actor, in the second show in particular, I won't swear to the first show, but in the second show, it did sound to me like Colmer, just in the way that the delivery was given, even though the voice was hard to distinguish. I could be wrong, but I do think it was Colmer in those. So thanks so much for the comments. That will do it for today. All right, well, join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and next Thursday, another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.